we turn to 2 John. 2 John. Because this kind of sums up how I feel about being here. Great thing about 2 John is there's only one chapter. So, in 2 John, verse 12, says, "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." So, I could have, in today's day and age, I could have easily put in there, I would not email with a computer. I would not YouTube you with a video. I would not call you on a phone. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. And my joy is full being here with you guys and having the fellowship here and seeing old faces and new faces. And that's what my message I wanted to teach on today was fellowship. And, you know, when I started, I've been kind of doing a long-term study on fellowship, and I've been doing like a series back in Austin. Chris and I are from Austin, Texas, if we didn't mention that earlier. And I've been doing a series on fellowship, and when I started researching fellowship in the scriptures, I didn't realize how important it was, and I didn't realize all the details of what fellowship was, and I didn't realize how important it was for us to fellowship. And I don't think in a lot of the churches today, or Christendom, or whatever you want to call it, that is stressed what fellowship is all about. So as a definition of fellowship, it's basically fellows in a ship, all working together. For us, it also could be like a symbiotic relationship where we all are a beneficial partner to each other, where I'm a beneficial partner to you all, you're all a beneficial partner to me, and then each other are a beneficial partner to each other. And that's what a fellowship is. It's like a symbiotic relationship. So wanted to kind of show the differences between what a fellowship is in our culture today versus what a fellowship is biblically speaking. So I made a nice little diagram up here on the board. And what we have, this could get a lot more detailed here, but this is more of a biblical representation of fellowship, fellows on a ship. And in our society today, this is a representation of a movie theater where everybody comes to see the big show and they go home and they wonder, what did I just hear or see? And nobody helps each other. Nobody prays for each other. Everybody just comes to see that big show and then it's over with. You go home, you live your life, and that's it. You don't see anybody or care about anybody or reach out a helping hand to somebody until next Sunday where you give each other a smile and a pat on the back, and then that's it. Now, on a ship, we have the engine room, we have the comms room, we have the mess hall where everybody eats, we have the quarters. And obviously the engine room is what makes this go. The comms room is where you communicate to the rest of the ship or to fellowships, and you let everybody know what's going on. The mess hall, obviously, where everybody eats there. The quarters, where everybody sleeps. And then here we're on the sea, kind of floating around out here. So just kind of get that picture in your mind. And then over here, obviously, is a stadium seating. And we're not big enough yet to have stadium seating, but one day we might be. But if we do get that big, I hope we just don't have the big show going on and that's it. So let's see. Now, to get on the ship, you need a ticket. And the ticket is Jesus Christ. And Christ himself was God's only son who came down and lived the perfect life that myself or any of you could not live. And Christ, when he lived that good life, he fulfilled every tenet of the law. And so when Christ died, his death was unjust because there was nothing wrong that he had done. Yet God placed my sin and all of your sin on Christ when he died on the cross. And then Christ was buried, and then he rose again the third day. Now, when he rose again the third day, he left those sins down in hell. And he was raised for our justification. So when he came up the third day, there was no sin on him. And so when we place our trust on what Christ did on the cross, we are actually justified in God's eyes. We have Christ's righteousness placed upon us. And so we can receive that righteousness just by simply trusting in what Christ did for us on God's behalf. So that's the ticket to get on the ship. And if you've never placed your trust in Jesus Christ, if you've never been fully persuaded by what God has done for us on our behalf, then you're not on the ship. You're in the movie theater here. And so don't fool yourselves if you've never trusted Christ, because you're not on the ship and you're not going anywhere. So make sure that you have been fully persuaded sometime in your life that there's been a moment where you said, yes, I do want to trust Christ for my salvation. So with that said, why is it good that we have a fellowship? Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Now, as we're turning to Acts chapter 16, as I said, when I started looking at fellowship in the scriptures, it's actually become a series. I did a sermon last week on courage and how it relates to fellowship. And this week, we're going to focus more on the comfort aspect. And there's so many aspects to what fellowship does for fellow believers that it's almost unbelievable. So it's going to take some time to actually go through and cover what all fellowship encompasses. But for this week, we're going to kind of focus on what comfort is, and we're going to go from there. So Acts chapter 16, verse 40. Acts chapter 16, verse 40. And this is Paul. He just got out of prison. And verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So here we see Paul and the company of other believers. And it said that when the brethren had seen them, they were comforted. So just keep that in mind, that there is some comforting going on when you actually see a fellow believer. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. All right. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll be looking at verse 13. And in verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly more joyed for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. So here we see Titus being in the company of the Corinthian brethren. And what does it say? It says he was comforted and he was also joyed. And I started off this message here talking about the joy being back here with you all. So we see that in Scripture, again, everything needs to be confirmed at least two or three times in Scripture for us to really make a doctrine out of it. So we see that comfort comes from being in fellowship with one another. So, and it also talks about how he was refreshed. So you might want to consider that each Sunday you come here, how you can be comforted by each other. And you can be refreshed by each other. And you can have joy. And that's something that I know for myself, I never really considered until I started doing this study. I didn't consider that. I mean, I knew that I was getting edified by the Word. I knew that I was learning right doctrine. But at the same time, I didn't realize that there's a joy that comes out of that. I didn't realize there's a comfort that comes out of that. And I didn't realize that there was a refreshment with that. But God says that there is. So we need to consider those things in light of Scripture, and consider those things and how we view coming together every Sunday. Because I know for myself in times past, you know, even after I got saved, coming together all the time wasn't a big deal for me. I thought, you know, it's no big deal if I don't show up this week. I'll sit in the back row. Nobody will notice if I'm here or there. But, you know, they did notice. I actually, even years later, I heard from some individuals that said, you know, hey, it really hurt us that, you know, you had stopped coming to fellowship for a time. And I wasn't purposely not coming, but I had to work late on some Friday nights, and we're having fellowship on Friday nights, and so there's just no way I could make there in time after work. But years later, I found out that it was bothering people that I wasn't showing up, and I thought, no big deal, you know, other people are there, and nobody will miss me. Well, it turns out they were missing me. So that's something to keep in mind. And I know this goes through everybody's mind. Oh, they won't care this week. Or, oh, they won't miss me. Or, you know, nobody will notice. But they do. And people care about that. So, and you're, you know, like we pointed out here, too, you're losing out on stuff, too. You're losing out on your joy, your refreshment, and your comfort. So, now, in light of all this, what does a good fellowship do? Well, let's turn to chapter 5 here in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 5, we'll start off in verse 14. In verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Now let's stop there for a moment. Verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." I know, for a lot of people in religious circles and stuff, they are constrained by church. They are constrained by somebody looking down on them, keeping check of what they're doing. They're constrained by a priest. They're constrained by a group of believers. But they find themselves not constrained by the love of Christ because they don't really get into this book. If you get into this book here, this is where you find yourself being constrained by the love of Christ. I can't constrain you to be I can't constrain you to the love of Christ. Only you can do that for yourselves by getting into God's Word, and nobody else can do that either. Now you can be constrained to do a certain list of things if you feel pressure, but that's not being constrained by the love of Christ. So make sure that you understand the difference there. And verse 15. "And that he died for all, and they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." And in verse 16, you may want to, if you're not familiar with rightly dividing the word of truth and dividing Christ's gospel as a man on the earth versus the gospel that Christ gave to Paul as a saved individual, then you may want to study that further out for yourself and understand that Paul is explaining to us that we're not knowing Christ anymore after the life that he lived on this earth, because we can't possibly live that life that Christ lived. So we're living our lives after the pattern that Paul laid down for us. So in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So here we see, as I mentioned earlier, we see that God has reconciled us to himself by Christ. 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us," verse 19, "to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So again, we see that God is not imputing any trespasses to us anymore. That means anything you've ever done in your life, past, present, future, is not imputed to you once you trust Christ as your Savior. However, you do have Christ's righteousness imputed unto you. So, verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, and Christ said, be you reconciled to God. So here we see that we are now ambassadors for Christ. So I'm going to take us back to this diagram up here. What is a ship doing out here in the water? Well, we are trolling through the water, and we are casting life preservers out with the gospel to save people and to pick them out of the ocean. That's what we're doing as a fellowship, as a church. Everything that is here for us, we should all be directing that towards ultimately sharing the gospel of Christ with people, getting people saved, because that's all that really matters. So if the fellowship is not directed towards getting the ship out to sea and getting people saved, then it's more directed towards the big show here. So we need to be cognizant of that. So in verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Verse 1 of 6, we then as the workers together with him beseech you, you receive not the grace of God in vain. So, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry not be blamed. So, all right. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. So we've seen what a fellowship is doing. Now we're seeing how a fellowship is acting in light of that. Now again, there's other aspects to this, but I can't possibly cover that in a short amount of time here. So in Acts chapter 11, be looking at verse 19. Now, in verse 19, this is where the disciples of Jesus and the 12 are being scattered. So in verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, and remember in Bible history, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was involved in this. So we see the Apostle Paul was consenting unto Stephen's death. Traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Again, they're keeping exactly what Christ as a man on this earth said. He said, go to the Jew only. So they're still keeping in line. Even though Christ has risen, they're still keeping down the road with what Jesus had said to them. So, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So, in light of fellowship and what a fellowship was doing here, what did the fellowship do there in Jerusalem? They sent Barnabas out to another group of believers, and he exhorted them. So here we see a good example of what a fellowship can do. And I've seen this with my own eyes. I've seen fellowships send out men to different areas in Texas and help the fellowships that are in those areas. I've seen it with about 6 different individuals. And so I've seen how this works. And so we need to be understand that is the fellowship is geared towards getting the gospel out, exhorting the brethren, So, and again, Barnabas is filled with the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. So God honored what the fellowship had did. They sent Barnabas out, and God honored that. So turn to Acts chapter 14 now. And Acts chapter 14, we'll start in verse 21. Now, this is, we see Paul. In the last instance we read, Paul was still involved with the persecution of the Christians from the disciples and Jesus' men, 11 men there. So, but now we see Paul as a saved individual, and he's going out and preaching. And in verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter in the kingdom of God. So here again, now we see Paul doing almost the exact the same things that Barnabas did. And verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Antioch, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So here we see Paul and those with Paul had fulfilled a work that the fellowship had sent them out. It says in verse 26, they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So there was a recommendation that they go out to these areas that we had just gone through a list, and that he would exhort the disciples to continue in the faith, even though they were going through much tribulation. So, in verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. So, here is Paul coming back to the church, the fellowship, and he's telling them what happened. And, you know, of course, they're all joyed, and they're happy that Paul had gone out there. So, just want to emphasize what direction the fellowship and where they're putting people out there to, and how they're trying to get the gospel out. So, let's let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 now. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, of course, Hebrews isn't a book filled with doctrine for us per se, but we can glean stuff off of Hebrews that can apply to us in indirect ways. So, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't know how it is here, but I do know how it is in Austin. And we have a small fellowship there in Austin, but out of all the Bible classes I've been to, all the Grace believers I've met in Austin, there's probably upwards of 60 plus people in Austin that would consider themselves Grace believer. They said they've trusted in Christ for their salvation, yet they forsake the assembling of themselves. And, last week we had a couple who said, oh, we slept in. Well, that's fine. I've slept in myself too. So, I'm not here condemning them. I'm just saying, what are the excuses? And, I can come up with 100 excuses why I shouldn't be here today. You know, I have jet lag, so I shouldn't be up here preaching today. So, Or I have a hangover because I had creme brulee with Tom back then. Anyways, what's that?
Let me write this down.
Yeah. It's on tape, so you got it. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So, did you realize that you can provoke one another to love and to good works? Well, the scripture is saying that you can. And exhorting one another. Now, in verse 25, it says, as you see the day approaching. Now, for the Hebrews, the day approaching was the day of wrath. Because once that day had been accomplished, they knew that Christ was coming back to the earth to set up his 1,000-year reign. Now, the day we're looking for is the day where Christ comes down with a shout and calls us up into the clouds. So that's the day we're looking for. So this scripture can apply to us in both cases here. Now, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And this should be where we can finish this out. So don't worry if your fingers are getting tired. We won't have to flip through any more pages here. Okay, Colossians chapter 3. All right, in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's stop right there. Forbearing one another. Now, as you see here, we have a ship and we have a movie theater. Now, when you're in the movie theater, when the big show's over with, you go home and you don't got to worry about nothing else. So nobody gets on nobody's nerves. When you're on a ship, you're in close quarters together. And everybody's got to work together to accomplish the mission. And it's easy for us to maybe get on somebody else's nerves. It's easy for us to say something that may have rubbed somebody the wrong way. You may be a rookie on the ship. Or you may be a seasoned sailor on the ship. And you know, being a rookie or a seasoned person, that can cause conflict too, because, you know, the seasoned guy knows a lot more than the rookie does. So there's all these different things that could be taking place on a ship to cause us to be bitter against each other. It could cause us to be unforgiving to one another. So isn't it interesting in Colossians, God asks us to be forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Because God knows that if we're working in a true fellowship here, it's inevitable. I mean, I'm sorry, I may actually upset one of you sometime. All I can do is ask for your forgiveness and to forbear with me. And likewise with you. I mean, you may say something to me someday down the road that may upset me, but I can forgive you and I can forbear with you. So, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So Christ is our example. Paul's our example. Christ forgave us. So if Christ forgave us, don't you think that we can start forgiving each other and working with each other? Verse 12, holy and beloved, bowels and mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. You know, when you're exposed to rightly dividing the word of truth, you know, scripture is very clear. Knowledge puffs up your mind, and it can make you prideful. And even though we have all this knowledge about how the scriptures work and about the dispensations and about how Christ has different ways of saving people throughout the ages, we can get puffed up with that. But in verse 12, God's asking us to have humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. verse 14, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, ultimately, whatsoever we do, we need to do it in the name of Jesus. So, and then so we go on from there. But at any rate, I hope today what I've shown you is the fellowship versus the big picture, which you see at these mega churches. Because I've been to the mega churches, I've been to quite a few, and I've also been to True Fellowships, and I really notice a difference. And I hope we as a fellowship here can work together to ultimately get the gospel out to Fort Lauderdale, to South Florida, Florida, and from there. But it's going to take all of us working together. And I'm here to help you in any way we can to do that. So that was my message for today, and I really am glad to see you all again and to be here. And great having our new guest here, and hope you guys come back someday. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. How are you?
Well, I thought since I walked back in the room. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this ministry. We thank you for your faithfulness. We pray that we would be as faithful as you were and commit ourselves to your word, to share the good news of your grace, to share the fact that you loved us so much that you sent your Son, who you love more than anything, to step on our cross, to suffer our pain and indignity, to be made a curse because he never did anything wrong, but he did it for us. He did it so that we could have eternal life in your presence. Father, we just pray that if there's someone here today who has never trusted in you exclusively, maybe they trusted in their religion, maybe they trusted in some works they did, let this day be the day that they put their faith exclusively in your Son and trust His work, because only His work was good enough. Father, we just give you all the praise and glory and thanks again. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.